o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Voice of Destiny brings you your favorite Christian authors, speakers, and filmmakers each week. Listen in as our guests teach and encourage, listeners share their stories, and we go live to the front lines of what God is doing across the world. Now, get ready for the Voice of Destiny.
This is Larry Sparks, host of Voice of Destiny, and we have a real exciting program for you today. I am absolutely honored to have Randy Clark with us. Now, some of you out there, I'm sure, are familiar with 1994, when a little church near the Toronto airport runway had a powerful visitation from God that has not only changed the DNA and the landscape of that church, but that has really impacted the church globally for over 20 years. Talk about a sustained outpouring, a sustained move of God. So Randy Clark was the evangelist who was there January 20th, 1994, and God used him in a powerful way as he shared testimony. What God had done in his life, that testimony carried a powerful anointing, stirred up hunger for people, and they just went after God. And like I said, it's been going ever since. And now God uses Randy all over the world, and he is an unusual healing minister. When I say unusual, sometimes when we think of healing evangelists, we use some of the inappropriate language, I guess, faith healer, that type of thing. That's not what God is doing through these men and women. With Randy, God uses him through a healing grace, a healing anointing, but even more unusually, powerfully, and relevant to you, God uses Randy to activate gifts of healing and gifts of the Spirit in your life. And I believe his book, Power to Heal, is going to do that. It's going to release an impartation to activate healing in your life, that God's power to heal would flow through you. So, Randy, it's so great to have you on the program.
Oh, Larry, it's my honor and privilege to be with you. Thank you for having this time for me to be able to share with you. I'm excited about it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, before I dive into the questions, I just wanted you to maybe share a little bit from your heart specifically about this, because I was talking about how God's been using you all around the world to really release impartation and activate people in gifts of healing and the gifts of the Spirit. But that can't, I mean, wasn't there a prophetic word that was made over you concerning this that really ultimately is being fulfilled as you're launching into this type of ministry?
Yes, Larry, there was. When I first met John Wimber for the first time and the second time, John heard the audible voice of God speak to him. And I was the pastor of a small rural village Baptist church of about 150 people, hidden away. Nobody knew who I was. But John heard the audible voice of God both times tell him that one day that God was going to send me around the world to pray and lay hands on pastors and leaders and to activate gifts of Spirit and impartations. And that's why John invited me into the leadership of the Vineyard in those early days, not because of what I had, but what God had spoken to him I was going to do. John didn't tell me that personally. He just said I was a prince in the kingdom of God, but he told his executive vice president, and later he told me that. And then last, when I saw John right before he died, he told me himself about that experience. So that was in January 84, and Toronto started January 94, the outpouring in Toronto when I went there. I was there for 42 of the first 60 days until they felt like the anointing of my life had transferred to them, and it wasn't necessary for me to continue coming. I think it was the longest-running protracted meeting in North American history. It lasted 6 nights a week in that same church for 12 and a half years. And as you've said, it's still going on, the impact of it around the world, as we're still seeing God open doors for this continuation of that initial outpouring.
And that's absolutely amazing. And again, one other thing, I'd love for you to bring some clarity on this, because you know, for some of our people who are listening, they think of healing ministry. And again, it's almost like our minds go back to the 40s and 50s. And even some people today where you have a healing evangelist, you come to this meeting, have this individual, this man or woman pray over you. That person carries a healing anointing. You receive your healing. And that's great. And God still does that. What are you seeing, though, happen now? I mean, how do you see this healing anointing being released and being transferred to other people, to really every person, every believer?
Well, we take teams with us all over the world. We've taken over 5,000, probably by now 5,500 people to the nations. And many of them, actually the majority of them, have would not say they have a healing ministry, and many of them had never had a word of knowledge or prayed for anybody in their life that had been healed.
Wow.
And every one of them has, on that trip, gave words of knowledge that they had for physical conditions that people responded to, and every one of them laid hands on somebody that was healed. And many of them, when they came back to the United States, they continued moving in a much stronger anointing and gifting for healing than they did when they started the trip. One of my friends, who's one of our associate evangelists, told me the biggest miracle he saw on a recent trip we did about a year ago. It was a year ago this coming month. We were in Brazil, in southern Brazil, and he said, Randy, when we saw the blind eyes open, deaf ears open on that trip.
Wow.
We've seen hundreds of thousands of people get healed. But he said the biggest miracle of all was the transformation of the people on your team. I was at the airport in Sao Paulo when they landed, and they were timid, they were fearful, they didn't know what they were doing. And it's less than 10 days later when they went home, they're confident, they're assured, they all saw people get healed. It's a radical transformation of the people who are on the team, not just what God did through them. So that's something we see. Normally, Larry, 50% of the people that I see healed in our meetings happen through the team. They usually have about an hour to pray at the end of the meeting with laying on of hands. And about half of the healings will happen when they pray, and the other half happens from the platform as a kind of a praying over the congregation, utilizing words of knowledge, actually, from the team as well.
Well, and it's interesting because one of the messages, I mean, one of the first books we did with you back in the 90s is called God Can Use Little Old Me. And for those of you who are listening, that message, I mean, that's Randy carries that and imparts that. God can use you. That's Randy's message, and that is what he releases through this book and this curriculum, Power to Heal. And really, in the next 20 minutes, I want to go through some of these questions because I think they will really help people understand that, number one, God is still healing today. Number two, he wants to use every single believer to release his healing power. So let me ask you this, Randy. Did you have a significant life experience where, you know, you felt called specifically to healing ministry? And if so, what was the catalyst for this in your life?
Well, the catalyst was my own healing at 18 years old from terrible injuries from a car accident. I should have been in the hospital. The prognosis was 7 to 11 weeks, and in 15 days I was healed and released. And on the 20th day, they were waiting for a back brace that I said I didn't need. So that was the catalyst. The second thing was realizing that healing was what kept me from losing my faith in seminary when I was attending the very liberal seminary at the time. It was my own healing and the study of healing that sustained my faith in the supernatural, and a God of the supernatural, in theism, you might say, a God who gets involved in our lives.
Yeah.
So those were two things. And then I think, finally, just I've had this hunger for healing ever since. And one of the things that happened, my first day at a Baptist college, because I was born and raised Baptist, educated at a Baptist college and seminary, and the last doctorate degree is through Methodist school. But anyway, when my first day of college, I'm in the bookstore, and I hear an internal voice that was so strong, it radically affected my life. And it was this: the issue of your life will be the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So the first book I bought, other than my textbook, was a book on the Holy Spirit. And of course, healing is one of the main things the Holy Spirit's involved in. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit is through mainly the gifts of the Spirit and healing being one of those significant gifts.
Well, and now what? And that's interesting. You're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, talking about healing, and there is a group of Christians. I'm grateful. I mean, it seems to be diminishing and increasing, but there still is a mentality out there that says, "Well, God, you know, doesn't move that way today. He doesn't move in that type of demonstration, miracles, signs, and wonders." And as a result, I think that creates a lot of misconceptions about healing, miracles. So what are some misconceptions that you see Christians having specifically about divine healing?
Well, I think one of them is they call it faith healing instead of divine healing, and it's almost like mind over matter, that if you can have enough faith, you'll be healed. But for many of them, it's just more like mind over matter, rather than faith is the key. The gift of healing is the starter that releases healing. So faith is to the starter. Faith is to healing what a key is to a starter. It's not the faith that heals. It's the power of God that heals. Now, there are what I consider just low levels of healing, like headaches and pain, some low, you know, pains and things, that I really do think is just mind over matter. But I'm talking about these powerful supernatural things. So that's one, a misunderstanding faith healing for divine healing, or confusing the two. Second is thinking that God gave us the sickness, and he used the sickness to sanctify us. I think that's a really bad teaching. A third is that even Paul couldn't be healed with this thorn in the flesh, thinking thorn in the flesh was a disease, when every reference to thorn in the flesh in the Old Testament, Paul being a rabbinical scholar, he would have known this, is a reference to people who are persecuting the person. So that's another, I think, a misunderstanding. The whole thing of cessationism, that there's the gifts of healing ended and the gifts of prophecy ended and gifts of word and knowledge, those things ended. I think that's a very bad understanding that hinders expectation for healing. And I think an end-time view that the church will be very weak and backslidden in a Laodicean condition when Jesus comes causes people not to expect a great end-time revival, which was the faith of the Puritans, the faith of the Pilgrims, the faith of the famous Spurgeon, the Baptist speaker in England, J.R. Graves, the founder of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Most all, Jonathan Edwards, they believed in a great end-time revival that would, where the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters do the sea. So that view of end times, of the church being weak and lukewarm, causes people to be skeptical of outpourings in the latter days of the Holy Spirit, and have more of a tendency, they would, to see it as of the devil, as lying signs and wonders. But it's easy to tell from Book of Revelation and from the scriptures themselves that the lying signs and wonders are easy to tell because they don't exalt Jesus. They try to take people away from the worship of Jesus to worship the Antichrist or the beast. And there's a moral issues, there's doctrinal issues are connected to people who do not believe in the incarnation of Jesus. So there are many tests that you can prove that would prove that the things that are happening today don't line up with what the scriptures say or the lying signs and wonders of the latter days.
And it's interesting. I mean, just as a side note for everybody who's listening, if you want to go into this in a lot greater depth, but in a very practical way, Randy did a book called Essential Guide to the Power of the Holy Spirit. And that will help you navigate through some of those things. Because when it comes to the expression of healing, it's almost like there's a few theological barriers that people need to get through. And, you know, another one, Randy, that I was thinking of, and you addressed it so great, in Power to Heal, is disappointment. And when I say this, you know, I mean, first of all, you have a whole a wonderful teaching called The Agony of Defeat. And I'm just going to leave that there and encourage, hey, for those of you who are listening, if you've ever dealt with praying for somebody and they didn't get healed and how you're supposed to respond to that, I really believe that chapter, that session will give powerful revelation on how to navigate through that without changing your view of who God is. God is the healer. But my question for you is this, because one of the things I commonly hear when people are just struggling through healing is they get disappointed because somebody somewhere told them, well, this person didn't get healed because they didn't have enough faith. But you really deal with that. You have a whole chapter about faith for healing and five different kinds of faith for healing. So here's my question. Does a person need to have a lot of faith to get healed? What would you say to that?
we've seen people get healed who were shocked that they were healed. We saw people get healed who came to the meeting to criticize us and prove that we weren't legitimate. And that person who came was healed themselves, or that one person, and it's been more than one, actually. So we've seen people get healed who are shocked. They didn't come for healing, didn't come with great faith. What I try to teach, Larry, is most of the miracles that I've seen, not just healings, happen because God call prevenient grace.
Yes.
You know, like the grace that comes to us that Wesley and others talked about that prepares us to believe in Jesus,
yes,
that awakens us. I believe there's a prevenient grace that relates to the faith for healing as well, in which God himself does something in that meeting or for the person that creates in them a expectation and faith, but it's not really something they attained or they worked for. I do think there's things we can do that can increase our faith,
sure,
or raise your faith. But I'm talking about this gift of faith that almost always when I've seen that happen, when miracles take place, God did something in the meeting through a word of knowledge or something else that created the faith. He helped. And that's where I put my emphasis in the meetings that we do, is on understanding the ways of God, so that when he does these things, because we understand what they mean, it creates in us God's faith.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful, because, again, I think sometimes people try to turn it very much into a formula. And I think you said this, you know, when there's more faith, more happens.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, and faith is great, but I also love the balance that, again, we're not reducing God to a principle or a formula, which, you know, I think some in the past maybe have gone down that road. But when you talk about people being sovereignly healed in the presence of God, I mean, what unusual ways have you seen people healed in different meetings, different environments?
Well, I just think of two real quick. I was teaching, and in the middle of a sentence, I stopped and said, "I feel heat on top of my left foot." Instantly, this woman in Dayton, Ohio, she felt heat on the top of her left foot. And she'd had, at 29 years, she couldn't flex her foot, she couldn't curl her toes, or couldn't run because she almost had her foot cut off, hanging by the Achilles tendon. And when they reconstructed her foot, she lost the ability to do those things. Well, all I said was, "I felt heat on top of my left foot." It came on her foot. And she began to move her toes, which she couldn't do. And she could flex her foot, and she got up and ran around. Well, she didn't really create that faith. God created that faith in her. We've seen similar things. Like one guy in near Dayton, Ohio, he was a veteran, 24 years of service. He was very skeptical. He even his testimony said, "I was very skeptical. And I had 5 words of knowledge." He had every one of them, but he wouldn't stand up. He's skeptical. And then God caused this tremendous heat to come into his left shoulder, and then I said, "Well, try to do something you can't do." And that the heat that came into his shoulder, while he was skeptical and wouldn't respond to any of the words of knowledge, gave him enough faith, and he got out and tried to do the push-ups. And when he did, he found out he was totally healed.
Wow, that's amazing. And for those of you who are listening, you might be thinking, "Well, this is all great, and we hear what Randy's talking about, and those are wonderful testimonies, and we celebrate what God's doing." But you might be thinking, "Well, yeah, but can God really use me to heal the sick?" You know, whether you're a minister preaching from the pulpit every week, or whether you're going to a 9-to-5 job like most people, God wants to use you. So let me ask you this question, Randy. Do you believe that every believer is empowered to heal the sick? And if so, why?
I believe the same thing about healing for every believer that I believe about evangelism for every believer. I believe every believer, they have the privilege of sharing the gospel, and if they will, they will see people accept Jesus. They may not be an evangelist, but they will see people accept Jesus. I believe every Christian can also learn how, as they learn how to recognize conviction in somebody and how to use the word to answer people's objections. They can do the same thing about healing. Not everyone is going to have a gift of healing in the sense to be called in and maybe an office of a healer. But every Christian should see people get healed if they will persevere in praying for the sick, just as every Christian should see people accept Jesus through their life if they will just witness to enough people.
Yeah.
I believe they're exactly saying we can't save anybody, we can't heal anybody, but God can use his word and use us to bring salvation and healing to people.
And your goal, I mean, I've seen this through Global Awakening over the years, having attended your conferences and events, your goal is to really remove the complication from it. I mean, in the whole Power to Heal teaching, you provide a very clear 5-step prayer model for healing. Now, what kind of results have you seen with this? And really, will this work for anyone? I understand, you know, you're not saying this is the definitive formula for all healing, but I've seen you put this formula, you've equipped people with this principle, and what kind of results have you seen?
Tremendous results in the sense of just so many people being used and seeing God use them for healing. And what we basically do is not, I really try to emphasize, now this is, even though we use this language 5-step prayer model, it's not mechanical. It's just trying to help people learn the ways of God, how to cooperate with God, and take away the fear factor some people have. How would you get started? You know, just very, very practical things that the knowledge of these things can help them be much more effective in praying for healing, just as a good course in evangelism can help people be more effective in presenting the gospel.
Yep. No, that's absolutely true. And what I would say to anybody, I mean, if you're interested to know what the 5-step prayer model is, again, Randy outlines it. There's a whole chapter in Power to Heal in the book and in the curriculum that's all about it. But what it is, it's a very practical starting point that you, a church class, a team in your church, if you just study and review that, again, it's not mechanical, it's not a formula, but it is a starting place. And I believe that as you practice that, helps you to step out, take risks, put it into practice, and actually start to see healing happen. So it just makes it easy because, again, I think a lot of us get intimidated by the fact, where do I get started? Where do I begin? I believe this model will really help you figure out a place where you can all get started with that. Well, Randy, finally, let me ask you this question because there might be people who are listening and say, you know what, I believe God still heals today. I believe in healing, but we don't want to focus too much on healing signs and wonders. We believe in them. We don't want to talk about these things too much because it could be a distraction from the gospel. And I want to ask you this question. Are these things, are they a distraction or peripheral to the gospel? Or really, are they actually part of the gospel? And could you shine some light on that for us?
Well, Larry, the scriptures is very, very clear that the signs and wonders are not to be given primarily to verify correct doctrine, but they are given as part, or to be a part of the good news itself, that the kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ. He is the one who initiated the kingdom, inaugurated the kingdom. His own blood seals the covenant of the kingdom, and the healing and deliverance in his name is part of the good news, and they are essential, central to the gospel, and when they're not there, only part of the gospel is being given.
Mm.
The gospel is not just about forgiveness of sin and going to heaven. The gospel is also about, in the power of the new covenant, the power of heaven is now made available to God's people here to help them push back the kingdom of darkness. The strong man has been bound, and the way that we now plunder his house is not only through the forgiveness of sins, but also through healing and the deliverance from demonic oppression. It's central to the gospel. It accredits the gospel, but it's part of the gospel.
Well, and immediately I think of what Paul says. I think it's in the final chapter of Romans where he talks about, he equates this phrase, fully preaching the gospel, with the demonstration of signs and wonders. So, again, for those of you who are listening, I believe God wants to release that grace, that impartation in and through you. This resource, you know, more than a book, more than study materials, I believe it carries an impartation to help you just start activating what God has already put inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he wants to release God's power to heal in and through your life. So, again, Power to Heal. There's a book. There's an 8-week, 8-session curriculum. You can go and purchase those, especially from Randy Clark's ministry, Global Awakening. It's globalawakening.com. And I also encourage you to go on globalawakening.com. There's some amazing events coming up just in a couple weeks in Springfield, Missouri. Randy is going to be with Bill Johnson, Mark Sharona for a conference they do called Awaken to Destiny. So if you're in that area, I would strongly recommend you register. If there's still registration left, I encourage you to try to register. You will go and not only receive instruction, but these Randy and those he's partnered with are all about giving impartation, not just giving you better information, but helping activate you to fulfill your destiny in Christ. And one of the greatest expressions of that destiny is you releasing the kingdom of God, salvation, healing, deliverance. So, Randy, thank you so much for being on the program today.
You're welcome, Larry. Can I just throw in the 18th through the 22nd
yes.
of November in Roselle, R-O-S-E-L-L-E, New Jersey, at the Agape House? I'm going to be doing a mini school there as well on the East Coast up in New Jersey.
Excellent, excellent. And again, for those of you who are in those areas, I would strongly encourage you to visit and attend these events. You will receive something that I believe will change your life, and you will see more of the power and more of the presence of God flow through you than you did before you attended, just because I believe that's the grace that Randy carries. So again, it's Power to Heal, available through globalawakening.com. And thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of Voice of Destiny. We look forward to connecting you more with just resources and tools that equip you to fulfill your destiny in Jesus.
This has been the Voice of Destiny, your trusted source for the latest spirit-filled resources for your everyday life. Thanks again for listening.